Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson for the day found in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and withdrew into the region of Tyre and Sidon. There a Canaanite woman from that territory came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. A demon is severely tormenting my daughter." But he did not answer her a word. His disciples came and pleaded, "Send her away, because she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt in front of him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered her, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to their little dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "yet their little dogs also eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, your faith is great. It will be done for you just as you desire." And her daughter was healed at that very hour. This is our text. Dear people of God, I often wonder what was going through the mind of Jesus. As well as being God, Jesus was and remains a human being. That means that he had and faced all the same temptations that we have, except Jesus never sinned. He never once fell for the temptation to tell somebody off. Oh, he must have wanted to. This chapter of the Bible proves that. But he never did. Jesus always said the right thing. He never offended anyone who didn't want to be offended in the first place. Imagine always saying and doing the right thing. But Jesus was tired of his people. He says here that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that is very true. In his love that knows no bounds, Jesus left his heavenly throne and glory and paradise, and he came here to save his people. He promised them that he would, and he did it. He promised Adam that he would crush the devil's head for him. He promised Abraham that he would make an everlasting covenant between himself and Abraham's descendants. He promised King David that David would one day have a son who would sit on his throne forever and ever. The Christ was supposed to come to his people Israel and win for them salvation. Jesus knew his job, and he fulfilled his job perfectly, all according to plan. Not only did Jesus voice his job here to the Syrophoenician woman, but he was doing it. Matthew tells us that Jesus is in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, he wasn't in those Gentile cities. He was just in the region. The Jewish state of Galilee extended up that far. And Jesus was careful to stay in the land of Israel. He was sent to save the Israelites, and that's where he lived, and that's where he preached, and that's where he worked. As far as we know, the only time he left Israeli soil is when the wicked King Herod sent his goon squad after him to kill the baby Jesus, and his mother and father took him to Egypt just for a time to escape that terror. But that was all according to Scripture anyway. Jesus stayed in Israel, and he worked in Israel, and he lived to save Israel. He even told the same thing to the 72 disciples that he sent out earlier in Matthew chapter 10. He said to them, "Do not go among the Gentiles and do not enter any town of the Samaritans. Go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was Jesus' stated job. And he did it. That most of them did not want the salvation that he won for them, that's besides the point. Salvation was won. It was available for them as promised. Those who didn't want it, well, that's their problem. Now, Jesus was in this region because he was tired of his people. He was tired of their evil questions. He was tired of their silly tricks. He needed and he took some time away, the very time away that he didn't get when he went across the lake and ran into the 5,000. But this lady, this Canaanite woman, this Syrophoenician woman, she's called that because she lived in this area of Syria and Phoenicia, which really only means she's the Gentile lady of the north. This lady somehow knew Jesus' job and mission, but she also knew a lot more than that. Somehow this non-Jewish lady knows to go to Jesus with her problems. Now, the fame of Jesus must have been just great at that time in the world. It extended outside of the promised land. Jesus raising the dead, feeding the 5,000, those things are stories that people love to tell. They're as fascinating today as they were back then. Even without TV and internet, that news would have spread all around the Mediterranean Sea. Especially back then when people talked to one another. So this lady, who lived next to the land of Israel, certainly heard the stories about Jesus, the great miracle man. But there's a lot more to her than that. For she calls Jesus by the proper name. That, to me, is the most amazing part of this story. Jesus said that she had great faith. And this is the first proof of it. For she calls Jesus Lord, Son of David. Now, Lord, we have heard people call Jesus before in the Gospels. That's how believers saw him. From what he did, they recognized Jesus to be God himself walking on earth to help and to save sinners. The lepers, the believing centurion, and the disciples all called Jesus Lord. It's funny, in Matthew 8, it's the demons and the pigs who properly called Jesus the Son of God. They knew who he was too, but they talked to him rather out of fear. This lady is different from all those. This lady, along with some blind men in Matthew chapter 9, calls Jesus the Son of David. Now, to call Jesus the Son of David means that you know your Old Testament scriptures and can properly apply them to Jesus. So this Canaanite woman who never went to Sabbath school, and the blind men who couldn't read the scriptures, they have this all figured out, that Jesus is the promised one who was supposed to come to the house of David. They had it figured out that Jesus was the Christ, the one sent from God who has come to wash sinners from all their sins and to save their souls. And they then logically come to the conclusion that if he's the Christ, then he can also easily heal bodies. Now, how did this lady know that Jesus was the Christ? And then, what has amazed people throughout the ages, this Canaanite lady also understands that persistent faith and prayer is rewarded by the Lord. How does she know that? We've been told that many times in our Bible readings. Jesus told us the story of the persistent widow who insisted that the judge of the town give her justice. Jesus told us the story of the neighbor who went and demanded that his neighbor give him some food to give to a guest. James writes to us about how the prayers of a righteous man accomplishes much. We've heard that over and over, and yet how many of us believe that? How many of us put that into action? How many of us Bible-reading Christians are persistent in prayer? How many of us, if we don't get exactly what we want right away, don't complain and quietly question and curse the Lord, but rather continue to persistently pray, even for the impossible, until the Lord gives it to us? A few years ago, one of my sons came to me when he was talking about getting engaged. And all he could see was the negative. He said, "Pop, if I do this, this will happen. If I do that, that'll happen." And I said, "Well, what do you want to happen?" And he laid out the best case scenario. And so I said, "Well, then pray for that. And act that way, boldly, and see what the Lord does." And it turns out, it went the way he he prayed. So also with this lady. It didn't go exactly the way she figured it would go, but she knew her goal. Her goal was the healing of her demon-possessed daughter. And she prayed and she acted boldly with the Lord. That's how she comes to accept her status as a dog. This part of the story really offends the American in each one of us, because being the mutt country that we are, we really hate it when people compare us to dogs. But that's nothing new. The Canaanites didn't consider themselves dogs. They didn't consider themselves lower than the Israelites. If anything, the Canaanites way looked down their nose at these Israelite weirdos. Yet this lady allows Jesus to call her a house dog. She just rolls with it. How does she do that? Humility. This dear Christian Canaanite woman approached Jesus in the proper way. She approached him the way we are supposed to. She came before the Lord as a beggar before the throne of God. She knew that she was a sinner standing in the presence of the Almighty, holy judge of all, the very Christ himself, who one day will come riding on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. To be considered a house pet in the mansions of the Lord, well, to her, that was welcome status. Just to be in the presence of the Lord, even a fly on the wall, is the goal of the true Christian. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 20 that the last will be first and the first last. This dear humble lady considered herself last in the kingdom. And so Jesus gave her the blessings of the first. That's what the passage means. It's about humility. How you view yourself, how you view others. And this wonderful lady shows us how faith does this. All that being said, Jesus really put this poor woman through the ringer. At first he ignored her. Then he says he didn't come to help her kind, but only came to help his own people. And finally, he compared her to a dog begging for scraps. Why did he do that? Well, certainly it wasn't for her sake. This dear lady had a wonderful faith. She already believed that Jesus was her Savior and the Christ. She didn't need this. She was able to take whatever the Lord threw at her. She was already a believer, as we already saw. But who wasn't so much of a believer? Who needed the lesson? It was the disciples, that's who. Before this, in Matthew chapter 14, was the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus fed that whole crowd with the lunch of a small boy. Coming up in Matthew chapter 16 will be the feeding of the 4,000. This story's in between. When we get to the story of the 4,000, the disciples will be stumped as to what to do. They'll be clueless as to how to feed that large crowd. It's as if the disciples didn't hear or see a thing that Jesus did. Who needs to learn the lesson that Jesus answers persistent prayers, and that he does so in ways that we could never foresee? Well, you and I do. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We all know that one, right? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Remember that one? The God who sacrificed his own Son upon the cross of shame to wash away all of our sins also promises to be with us and to help us in this world of trouble. Do we believe that, or do we not? Christ's blood covers all people. He died for all sins. You who believe that are truly his people. You are the real Israel, the Apostle Paul calls you in the book of Romans. You get every benefit of his sacrifice, his resurrection, and his great love. Know that. Believe that. Enjoy it. Use it. Live in it. The Lord does not grow tired of you. He doesn't grow tired of hearing you. He doesn't grow tired of helping you, of forgiving you, of saving you. You are the people that the Lord Jesus came to save. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.